I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
Give me fucking truth, baby! Come on! Let's go!
How have I been this successful in life?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the MMA Analysis. I apologize for the late start. It did, in fact, take us 17 minutes of talking to figure out if there was anything to bet on this one before we could get here, so that's why we're a little behind. We're going to try and rip through things pretty quick to get back on track here tonight, though. Honestly, might take longer on UFC 299 than the Vegas slop fest that's coming up this weekend. We'll see. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, 299 was awesome. And then we get the repercussions of, one, the Apex, and two, back-to-back very good review cards. This is what we get. They're really begging fucking hardcores to become casuals when you really just need to tune in for one or two of these fights. And even on this one, I don't know if you need to tune in. Because this shit just, they put the fights that matter on cards that aren't in the Apex and the ones that are on pay-per-view. So they're begging for it. Might be getting it. It's like I said, it's a new low for the 20th time. We keep saying it. We keep digging. We're gonna be on. We're getting close, China.
I can confirm that I will not be watching this card. Wes, how about you? You'll be watching. You watch it all.
Yeah, Wes, I mean,
the chorus of hardcores.
Look, like
he will have it on one of his screens.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's March Madness, so there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, but like it annoys me that like there's newer people that watch this stuff and this is all they know. You know what I'm saying? So like they don't understand what this sport was like 15 years ago and just how much different it was, how much better it was. Like I don't think there's any argument. Like there's things that are better. But the actual content is as bad as it's ever been. Like, don't get me wrong. Having to find like prelim where they've had the prelims Facebook. On Facebook and all these other places back in the day, like all of that stuff, finding the fights sucked. They're so much easier to get now, but the quality is just so bad. And I just, there's so many fans that even have been a fan of MMA for probably a decade now. They've lived through this content mill for a decade and they just think that this is how it is. And this is trash. Like this,
the Apex has taken this to a whole nother level. We've been on them for them slowly diluting these cards and pandemic hit and they had an excuse and they're running a puppy mill.
And now it's not just the UFC to blame. It's the worldwide leader who gives them their money. They saw how easy and how cheap it is to get their content out of it. So they're all in like, and that's horrible, man. Like this stuff this weekend, you wouldn't have found this on Friday Night Access fucking 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
True.
I mean, like some of the undercard on a pay-per-view was what you got on Friday nights and shit, man. And like, look, I still like watching fights. But most of this shit now, like even UFC cards like that, like you just said, we get 299, we get 300 coming up. My God, man, everything in between is very, very bad. And like what keeps us engaged? Like betting. Like if I didn't have dollars on some of this shit and literally like even some of it, I bet it and fucking go make fucking dinner for the kid while the fight's going on and come back and just like go back on the DVR with it or something, man. It's like that bad, like. $299, though, like we said it Saturday night, when MMA is like $299, there's maybe nothing better. That is just great stuff. But, man, we don't get that. But what, once every two, three, 4 months now, you might wait?
you got to treat it like it's 20 years ago and it was
treat it like that
between pay-per-view card or not 3 months, but like a month between pay-per-view cards
events.
And all of the,
but the con-
mean, there's nothing happening.
The bad thing now though, is like all of the in-between switch to the next coming week to where it used to be like a great fight, like $299 and we get to talk about it and stew on it and write about it and do your podcast on it for a couple weeks. And you could talk about all the great fights and shit. Now, like people literally just move on to the next thing.
It's on to the it's next bad. One.
It's not good, man. It's not
especially
good.
When the next thing is this thing.
This. Yeah.
Wes did mention something at the start of his little rant there though. March Madness coming up. And we've been running the bracket for, I don't know, over a decade now. So if you see it on the old Twitter X machine. Twitter.
Have we become the old men of like the Twitter group? Like we're the old men now, right? We've been around. Like, we're doing our, we're doing Toutmaster for the 10th year. We're doing our bracket challenge for, man, we're so old, bro. Been around.
We do what we do. Anyway, sign up. It's good. 25 bucks, I think, for that one.
Yep.
All the details are there. I enter it, I lose. I'm going to enter it again this year. I'm going to lose, but it's fun. You get to pick against all of Lance's teams. Is Florida State even going to make the tournament this year?
I don't know.
There we go. Loss in the first round. Know. Easy. Mark it down. Anyway, last week, UFC 299. We probably could go old fashioned and go bottom up on this one because there was enough to support that, but we're going to stick with the new school top down method. Main event, Sean O'Malley, unanimous decision over Marlon Vera, who looked and fought like a homeless dude on Saturday night. So I, at least he's consistent with his strategy, you know. But not his best performance. Good performance from O'Malley. I think people are maybe blowing it a little bit out of proportion. It's just Vera could never get his hands on him. So it wasn't kind of like a not the, the greatest end to the card, kind of like tapered off.
We needed to be a little more competitive than what it ended up being. If it was if it was closer, it would have been fine. But yeah, that was a blowout. Props to O'Malley. I've lost a lot of money to him, and he's legit, man. Like I know the wrestling obviously hasn't been tested, but regardless of how it happened, you beat Marlon Vera, who's tough and does have some good wins, and knock out Aljamain Sterling in back-to-back fights. You got to be pretty fucking good to do that.
Yep. And made both of them look pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. It was obviously a very poor performance by Vera. Some of that, of course, is O'Malley's dueling. And then some of it, I don't know. I don't know what the game plan was going in, but it couldn't have been that. But I don't know. I think O'Malley shut down most of what he was doing. I don't blame him. He probably doesn't want to get hit, and it's just weird. We haven't really seen that before. He usually gets hit and figures it out a bit or wades through it. I don't know what was different on Saturday. I don't know if it was pressure with all the Ecuadorian people coming to you know, be media and stuff like that. I don't know what it was, but that was a pretty poor performance and a very good performance for O'Malley.
I think there is definitely something to be said for, especially now with what we're talking about, where 75% of the cards are in the Apex. When you do actually go to a pay-per-view and you're in the big octagon, like one of those is like the size of a city and one of those is the size of a state or province if you live in a real country. But like it was... looked like that fight was taking place on the plains of Abraham.
There is a pretty big difference in that. I will give O'Malley this credit. Yeah. He is not he's not shy at all from the big stage. Like, that kid eats up the spotlight. I will give him that. Like, I don't put pretty much anything into this win. Aljo win, fucking props. This win, this guy literally stood in front of him for 25 minutes and he couldn't get him out of there. That's how I look at it. Like, he beat up fucking a dude that stood in
front of
him. Marlon Vera does not get it. Literally has never been finished and has got one of the best chins in all of MMA.
I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying that.
So
how do we feel about Vera coming into this fight though? Like, everybody, like, this fight was a joke. This was an absolute joke.
It was, but I mean, I still bet Vera. I still had a little bit of money on him. I thought he would test him. I thought he could, you know, I wanted to see what O'Malley was going to look like in the fourth or fifth round.
Well, guess what? At the end of the fifth round, O'Malley wasn't looking great. Like, he was starting to slow down, tired. That's when Vera started landing. Vera literally started throwing punches in the fifth, at the end of the fifth round, and landed, hitting with a knee to the body at the end of the fight, to where O'Malley went and sat down on the fucking cage and was like,
he died from that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a rough bunch.
He was screaming for that the whole fight. If Vera literally thought, who knows, but still, like, he had a guy standing, like, that knee that he hit Vera with, Vera literally walked right towards him with his fucking hands up spread apart, and just that, like, props to O'Malley. He did what he should have done. Like, who's the last guy to show up in a title fight like that and literally, like, blank, like, latest and shit, like that's the level.
What's her face in the women's fight where in the Amanda Nunes was like blinder? That's honestly, like, I don't know, was it Ketlin Vieira? I can't remember who it was, but she just straight up didn't do anything and got over for five rounds.
This goes into that category. Like, this was an absolute no-show. That man literally wouldn't throw punches. He threw, like, a few leg kicks. Every time he hit O'Malley with a leg kick, it fucking hurt him. I think Sean's right, too, though. Like, I want to shit on O'Malley because he fought, like, a guy that he should have done this to. But yeah, his striking and stuff did limit some of Cheeto's stuff early. And I think once, like, Cheeto couldn't do shit early, he pretty much was out of there. He fucking checked out, man. Like, you can't tell me in those middle rounds, there was times in those middle rounds, he went a couple minutes at a time without throwing anything back. Literally nothing, just standing there eating punches. I don't know what that is. Like, so O'Malley did what he was supposed to do. When you got a guy in there standing in front of you for 2-3 minutes at a time that's literally throwing nothing back, yeah, you probably should have got the guy. I get it, it's Cheeto and shit, but dude's 30-something years old now. Like, he probably, whatever it happened. If this guy ducks Merab, like, if
he's not going to,
if they find a way, he tried. He's already.
I know he tried. I know he tried, but guess what? Topuria shut that shit down, Illa, and so did Fundana. So that shit ain't happening.
Look, I think Mally is a very good fighter. Like, I will give him his props. I think he's a very good fighter. I think he's turned into an excellent striker. Like, there's still some legit questions about that grappling, about that gas tank. Like, he slowed down in this one. Even when you can do what you want to do and strike and not have that kind of resistance, you shouldn't be slowing down like that in the fifth round. He did. Merab is going to put a pace on him and a grappling clinic on him. Mason released a line the other, like, it got hit, but he, like, released Merab at, like, it was what, minus 200 or something like that, or minus 185.
185.
Yeah, it was like a low line. I was like, man, I wish I could hit openers before they were gone. But anyway,
it bounced back. It's still last time I checked, it bounced back to minus 185. So
Merab is a massive bet to me under 2-1, a massive bet. And if O'Malley goes out there and schools Merab,
he doesn't need to school him. He needs to just knock his ass out, because that's the only way he's going to beat
Merab. He's not knocking Merab out.
He can definitely knock Merab out. There's been a couple people that have dropped and knocked out Merab.
I know. He just hit, like, say whatever you want about Vera. He just landed all of his best shit on Vera.
That was Vera.
Didn't even hurt him.
I 100% believe anybody else in the fucking
they get hit with that knee.
Division, if he gets hit with that knee, they're out, other than Vera.
I, I'll give
minus
you that.
Minus 210 right now for Murad.
Okay, so it did get bet ups again.
I think I truly believe, even as good as O'Malley is, and props to him, Murad is a different level. I truly believe he's the best fucking bantamweight in the world, and he is going to fuck O'Malley up. Fuck him up. Like, that's going to be a clinic. And if O'Malley, like, gets Murad out of there, like, I don't even want to shit on O'Malley that much. Like, the Aljo win is legit. Like, that is as legit a win as you could imagine. Like, he beat the dude to win the belt. That he's good. O'Malley is top of the fucking heap. I think Marab's way better. I just think he's way fucking better at this point. And he, like, say he gets Murad out there. This guy's got – don't talk about Topuria, please. You got fucking – like, Peter Yan is, like, after that performance Saturday night, he's right there.
A bantamweight should never be allowed to leave their division to move to another weight class.
Yeah. There's way too many fights.
Too many good bantamweights. Like, yeah. Anyway. Good stuff. I'm going to keep losing money. Apparently, like, I don't just lose money on O'Malley. I lose money on the entire O'Malley card now if he headlines it. So I'm going to have to keep that in mind for the future.
Perfect.
This guy.
Co-main event. Somebody that lost a lot of people some money. Dustin Poirier. Knocks out the big swing in Denis. 232 in round two.
Man.
Yeah, he hit hard. Other guy get punched in face a lot.
with his chin hanging in the air like, here, punch me, please, Dustin. Hit me hard.
I think Poirier might have knocked the staff out of him. But he's still trying to use it as an excuse. Dude just got chin checked by a guy who has been a top lightweight for a long time now. And it was fun as hell to watch.
He was gassy quick.
Yeah, I lost money. I didn't bet. I bet it for one unit. It wasn't big or anything. Props to Poirier. Does just stupid shit. Drops for gillies like a moron. And he still gets away with it because this dude just walks forward. Like, obviously, he had staff, he was on antibiotics, so he probably fought a little bit stupider and trying to get him out of there quickly, but you can get away with what he did against shitty lightweights. You don't get away with it fighting Dustin Poirier. Like, yes, tons of pressure. If you got him out of there early,
you better get him out of there. Happen. Like, you had to get him out of there in the first,
And it was weird, because, like, I felt like there wasn't really much for, like, there wasn't much for exchanging before he was trying to, like, just take him down and stuff like that. So, like, I don't even know if he, like, could have tested, like, just strike a little bit. I don't think Dustin Poirier was going to kill you if you were just kind of at distance, you know, throwing some feints and shit like that, trying to, like, set up a takedown. But I guess we'll never know because he's like, no, fuck it. I'm just going to walk forward and take punches and try to take him down, which worked for a bit. Until it didn't.
Man, Wes. That the meme Dustin retweeted is like, it was excellent. The meme of the dude looking at the other chick and it's like, jump for five gillies. And the chick looking at him is follow the game plan. And like, Dustin's like, what do you say?
I love how he's in on it too. He's like, I'm never going to stop. Yeah,
I'm never stopping. Add another one to the fucking, to the highlight reel, bro. Like, just all-time fucking action, dude. Him and Gaethje, man, just all-time. Look, like, OBSD had to get Dustin out of there in the first. Yeah, I mean, it was right there. I think he did try to go out and do shit that he doesn't normally do, per se, because I think he was thinking, I don't have, you know, 15 minutes.
It was five rounds, man. This is a five-round play.
Five rounds. Yeah, that's right. I think that had him, you know, going full blast to Larley, but still, you can't. He was literally hands down, chin up, out of position, and just got caught. I mean, before that, he was fucking had Dustin in some really bad spots, man. But you can't do that. Not against a guy like Poirier, not with the power that guy has, the fucking pinpoint striking that he's got. He can land one on anybody and do them like that. And yeah, I don't know how much the staff plays into that. I think maybe more mindset than actually physically in the fight, because I think
it didn't go long enough for it to be a factor.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's what he did, look gassy quick, but I think it had nothing to do with the staff. It was his mind thinking, I'm going to gas fast in this fight. And he gassed himself, just going way too hard, way too quick. And Dustin Poirier is legendary for, you don't get that guy out of there. He's in a fight for the entire time.
Certainly is a guy who's sometimes never in a fight. Kevin Holland loses a unanimous decision to Michael Page.
Fuck Kevin Holland.
I warned you guys. I fucking you warned did. You guys.
You did. Anything? Do we care?
Holland got out Holland. Page was fucking talking shit. Yeah, and just being wild out there. Holland looked like he gave up.
Yeah, dude.
He looked like he gave up, man. I haven't seen that from him. Like, even when he's been getting his ass kicked, like in the like Wonder Boy fight and stuff like that, he was still talking shit and throwing back. And man, he just defeated.
There was moments in that fight where he like got clowned, though. Like MVP was doing stuff in that fight that was making him look really fucking dumb. And Holland seemed like fucking embarrassed to even be. He's like, I can't talk no shit. I'm getting embarrassed out here. Like, I laughed half of that fight. I laughed. I was losing money on Holland just laughing because I don't
know.
Fuck Kevin Holland, dude. Like, seriously, how can you ever trust that guy with a dollar ever again in your life? You can't.
You should.
Like, Sean was right. He was trying to talk me off this one. Should have listened.
Not the last one on this list. Welterweight division, Jack Della Maddalena knocked out Gilbert Burns in the third round. Grappling Gilbert.
Cruising to a decision. Cruising to a win.
Wild. That was a tough one. I don't know if you were on Burns or not, Brad, but the West Nine definitely was. Yeah. Turns out he was up 2-0 on two scorecards, so he literally just had to survive round three.
Minute 15 or whatever it was.
And fucking JDM just served it up to him with that fucking hip toss or whatever the hell that was, and Gilbert just needed to
With a broken arm.
And Gilbert just needed to lay there, and instead he tried to gain a better position and got swept and got knocked the fuck out. That's a rough turnaround for Gilbert Burns. Obviously
it's
we
not
saw
quite like Glover Yuri bad, but well, it's
close.
It's fucking close. In a non-title fight, right?
Yeah, it's close. JDM still has holes and he's barking up a pretty rough tree, but his striking is good when he can let it go. It's just that grappling's a liability, and there's a bunch of guys that can kind of take advantage of that at the very, very top end of welterweight.
Yeah, that offensive striking is fucking like top. Like it is top. It is great. He's got a little some holes in his defensive striking though, because Gil landed.
Yeah, he does get hit a bit. He bombed on him.
Then the grappling, the takedown defense it's non-existent, bro. Like Gil was getting takedowns whenever he wanted in that fight. It did get a little better late when Gil started to tire. Like it was really tough for him to get him late, but man. Get the cat's name out of your mouth, bro. Like there would be a murder. There would be an absolute murder happen if that guy got in the cage with Shave Cat. Dead.
I think even Wash Colby handles him pretty easily.
If he would like fight the right fight. We just don't
are we talking Colby. Highly motivated Colby?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh fuck.
They got to fight while Trump is on the election trail. Mm-hmm. That way, Colby's fully motivated. because he gets the most attention that way. So perfect. That's when he needs to get that done. Yeah, the rest of the guys in the division ahead of old JDM, maybe aside from Leon Edwards, all look
like Leon out grapples his ass, man.
JDM?
Yeah, Leon will grapple. Leon would JDM.
Leon would do whatever he
wants. The other guys for sure will. Leon might just strike with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
probably a bad idea. Probably.
Anyway, opening up the main card. Breaking news. Peter Yan doesn't suck. I know people seem to be under that impression since he was a pick'em against Song Yadong, but even I got this one. Sean.
It was still a little too close for my liking, considering I had like three units on it. Once again, I mean, I know we always say Peter Yan comes out slow. I think Yadong looked good in the first. It probably had something to do with Yan being slow started, but he looked fucking good. And then it kind of just caught up to him. I don't want Peter Yan in anything but five round fights because I like the dude and I want him to win. And these three round fights are dicey because he's basically punting on the first in most of these fights. And he's not absolutely killing these guys. He's not getting them out of there. So it's completely reliant on winning that second round. And that's a bit dicey. So big win, big balls after that first round to get the second and third. And then just, man, his ground and pound is fucking vicious. I just wish he grappled a bit more, but he was struggling a bit and early on in this fight with the grappling. So,
yeah, I think some of that is the improvement of Song. Like he's gotten like really, really good. Like we all thought of him as just some dude that bombs punches and shit. And he kind of was early on. That dude is like really good striking and shit now. Look, Yan just, he's MMA Loma. He's downloading first round. I was watching like there's some dudes on Twitter do like the technical breakdowns and shit and go back through fights. And I don't think people realize just how like great Peter Yan is. Just the little subtle shit. Like if you're watching him in the fight, how he keeps his hand up to his jaw and he uses his arm to paw off punches and shit. Watch it back in Song's punches, all those big punches. Yan is literally just flailing his arms up, it looks like. But what he's doing is like he's riding his punches up his arms off of his shoulders. It's incredible, dude. Like that guy is so fucking good. It's unbelievable, man. And then like by the second, when he like figures out what you're doing, downloads his info, man, by that third, he was just beating the fuck out of Song. And like Sean said, his grind, there's how many guys can have the control that he has on the mat when he's controlling a guy, but is still landing that shit that is still working you over doing that damage, but you can't go anywhere because he's controlling your legs. He's fucking got in the right position every time. Like that guy is so fucking good, man, but it's always going to be in a three round fight at this level against these guys at 135, because they're all good. Like
we're still talking about a top 10 bantamweight.
Yep, they're all good. He's going to be in close-ish fights, even if he's the way better guy and tuning him up in the third. It usually takes him seven and a half minutes, and you're making him dicey, man. But, man, skill for skill, I still think this guy might be the best bantamweight on the planet. I think he's right.
Him versus. Go ahead. You good?
No. Yeah, it's just a shame that by the time he gets back to the title, it's going to be Merab that he has to face instead of O'Malley again in five rounds.
Yeah, I think he takes on Sanhagen, maybe Sanhagen rematch.
That'd be
main event for the next shot after Merab. That works for me.
There is so much good stuff at 135. Like you know why 299 was so fucking good? Look at all the weight classes that was on 299s. Look at it. What, like
two heavyweight fights. Both were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which, we're going to go through these much quicker now. Curtis Blades, second round TKO over the Jail Man. Sad. sad what happens to the Jailman at this point. Macy Barber, that hairstyling career remains in the future. Unanimous decision over the Mukigan. Gamera, unanimous decision over RDA. Kyler Phillips, unanimous decision over Pedro Munhoz. Sean, anything on those?
Sad downfall for our man, the Jailman. We had big aspirations for this dude, and when he fights lower end guys, he can get them out of there. And then I guess when he steps up, he's a bit too scared to, I don't know what, if it's scared or what it is, but he just doesn't take chances. And at heavyweight, that's sketchy as hell to not really get those guys out of there, because guys will punch you and dumb shit happens, as in fucking what happened to him on Saturday. Lands one punch. He held Curse Blades for 5 minutes and landed one punch. Yeah, sad to see. I'm a dude that likes Curse Blades, so I don't, it's not bad. I bet Blades, I didn't really think it would happen like that. Didn't think he would get out grappled like that, but Jailman just doesn't really try to do anything, so he can just hold guys forever, and he has good grappling, so that's, he's still gonna crush some dudes, but he really needs to get his offensive game going to really become something in the shitty heavyweight division. Mook again, I bet her as well. That was a sad time for Mook again. I thought she could have made this a closer fight. It was a fairly close fight, but Barber was just better, I guess. Gamrot almost getting cleaned out. Like, this is RDA just in a nutshell. The dude is so skilled, even at his old age, and he's close with guys. He's got close chances, but he just can't get over the top, and then his holes show up. The grappling is good for a good amount of time, and then it's just overcome by a better fighter. Munhoz just didn't have it. He might be getting old. Still can take a pretty good shot, because that offense from Phillips was ridiculous. I thought he was going to gas. He did slow down, but I don't think Munhoz pushed the pace enough, or could push the pace enough to really test it out. But offensively, Phillips is fucking awesome to watch with those combinations and shit. Just hopefully he's taking the next step, because he's good.
Wesley?
Yeah, I was on Blades. Sad to see that for Joe, man, though. Like, he's got to, like Sean hit it right on the head, he's got to take chances and shit at heavyweight. Like, I mean, you can get takedowns. It's proven, like, he took down one of the better, like, wrestling dudes in the division with ease. But you have to fucking, like, drop hammers when you're there, man. You got to go for it. And maybe he'll get that now after these last two fights that he's had. Shooting that sloppy takedown in the second round was just, that was laughably bad, though. Like, yeah, Macy Barber fucking sucks. Like, she is very bad. And I would take that plus 170 or whatever the fuck we got on Mugi every day. I don't know who she fights next, but if she's a dog, a nice dog, I'm fading that chick every time. She is not good. I don't get it. Yeah, Gamrot almost got cleaned out by, like, Dos Anjos was riding into town with a buffet of fucking mountain yams in his trunk, dog. Like, did you see that guy Saturday night? Like, holy fuck, dude. Like, that dude was juiced out.
Go back up to 170.
It was insane. Like, that guy looked, and he looked insane. He was like Paul Harris fucking, like, bumpy. Like, shit was bumpy everywhere, dog. Like, yeah, our boy Pedro, he's done. It's a 135, man. He looks slow now. His chin's still insane. I like what I saw at Kyler Phillips, but Sean's right. Like, after throwing all those combos and not getting Pedro out of there, he started slowing down late. Pedro actually didn't look horribly, like, when Phillips slowed down, but Pedro needed him to slow down a lot to start getting anything off, man. Pedro's just done at this point at 135. You can't be like, what is he now, 35, 36 years old? If he used to have a little pop on his punches and shit, and it just seems like that's all gone. So sad to see. I've been a really big Pedro Munhoz fan over the years. That guy's fought everybody.
He's one of those LFA guys we used to watch on Friday nights.
Yep.
The last five more. Fuck, I don't have anything to say about any of these. Felipe Lins, unanimous decision over the Cute Labia. Michelle Pereira, first round sub over the Candyman. Sadness.
Yeah.
Carbo's last stand ends very quickly. 18 seconds for the Robles. Dipping. How were they pronouncing? I didn't watch this.
They wanted it. Supposedly he wanted it Americanized, so he's to Spain.
He's in the dirt, bro. I'm watering this motherfucker. Best believe it.
Oh, for sure. Asu, unanimous decision over CJ Viagra, and going out on top. Joanne Redacted Wood, split decision over Marina Moroz. Please tell me you have nothing on any of those.
Pereira looks good at middleweight. Middleweight's trash, man. He might be decent. He's got a little bit of grappling. He's got some good striking. Middleweight shit, and he's a decent fighter and seems like he's kind of smartened up a bit. So it could be something at middleweight. Yeah, Parisian just walking chin first into a guy to Spain is amazing. Loved losing money on that. And I'm a buy of, like, he won 30-27. He still was showing some questionable defense and shit like that. Offense is good. Defense is always a little bit slower behind. So I don't know if he gets there with the defense, he could be good. But there might be a guy that we can get against him at maybe a big number.
Wes?
Yeah, quick. I'm with Sean Pereira, 185. Like, not many dudes do the Candyman like that. Like, that was a fucking beatdown. That was a very good performance from Pereira. Dave Despain, my old NASCAR fans might know, he's in the soil. Like, that guy, it's sad that Parisian shit, but has he ever literally just ran across the cage flinging his fucking arms like windmills with his shin out? Like, that dude never does that. He's slow and plodding and tries to get a hold of guys. What the fuck was he thinking, man?
He slipped. He's like, this is my chance. He slipped. And it was not his time. No, it was. He should have tried for a takedown, not run chin first. Swinging.
Wes, did you call this dude Dave Mustaine?
No, Dave Despain. Because Sean said they pronounce it Despain. There's an old guy that used to do the ESPN NASCAR broadcast named Dave Despain.
Gotcha.
That's Asu might be decent, but man, holes everywhere. When the bagger man was, I think we're gonna get a good price to fade him in the future too.
That does it for last week. This week, back at the Apex, baby. UFC Vegas.
88.
Lindros.
Lindros.
Lindros. All right. It's a card that is happening. I'm heading down to Buffalo this weekend, so I'll be enjoying
rocking it,
some chicken wings and some lacrosse rather than watching this. I hope you guys enjoy, though. Might see this one maybe at a bar or something like that. No, bar's not going to be showing this. It's on ESPN+. Bantamweight division. Chad Anheliger taking on Charlemagne Gregorio. Charlemagne Gaudio?
That's good.
Sean?
It's tough to back Anheliger. Canadian, 12-8. He's losing to highly Alatang. Like, these are not good signs for
Bristol and Alatang.
Bradley. Charlemagne the God is probably not that good, but neither is Anhilager. Money's coming in on Anhilager. He opened like 185. He was plus 170 for a while. People are betting him. Props to those people. I don't think I have the balls, but I will pick the dog in Tiltmaster.
Wesley?
Just saw that price shopping is a good thing when you get a one-go win on the LAX field.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. One book.
Sensitive in these parts.
Yeah, I think you gotta take the Canadian dog here. You just gotta hold your nose and do it. Trying to talk myself into placing a bet here. This Cuban Charlemagne has been like, I mean, he was getting knocked out. I know it's Christian Rodriguez, and I mean, man, this is like CFFC record against some like 2-5 guys and shit. Like, this dude, I mean, it's going to be the toughest dude he's faced. I mean, outside of getting knocked out by Christian Rodriguez. Yeah. And like, you at least know what you're getting out of Anhilager. Like, he's going to fight for your money, man. It's going to be a tough out. He's going to stay in there. Can this guy catch him and get him out of there? I think that's the question. I think if he can't, then Anhilager's going to grind himself to a decision win here. So I'm not sure what the decision price is on Anhilager. That was something I was thinking about earlier. And then maybe a small shot on him. Is the
375.
Yeah, that's probably something I'll probably take a small bit of that, but nothing big, man. That who fucking knows on this card, dude. We're scraping the barrel to try to find some action on this.
Agreed. Very much agreed on that point. I'm gonna take Anhilager in this one. I've seen him fight. He's actually able to throw punches, sometimes defend takedowns, and he's not fighting 2-5 guys to, you know, get some of his knockouts to get that record back up on the regional circuit. So, yeah, I'll take the guy who's more proven against better competition. And that's kind of a gross bet to make to start off this card, but hey.
Bend a Canadian to start this shit. Let's fucking
go. Gotta work with what you're working with. Women's strawweight division. Corey McKenna. She's the one that looks like a hobbit, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Isn't she like 4'10" or something?
Nah. I mean, she's tall. 5'3" there, yeah. Bradley.
Holy, gotta respect she's that. Almost as tall as me. Wow. All right. She's taking on Jacqueline Amorim. Sean, big breakdown.
Somehow McKenna is like 3-1, 4-1 if we count contender series. Fucking wild, because she's got to be one of the worst 4-1 fighters in UFC history. It's possible. I'll pick her. She probably gets takedowns against this chick, but I don't care.
Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, I think McKenna's kind of short here. Like, this chick is
that a short joke?
No. I'm not into the shortsism. Shout out our boy Water Show. Yeah, I mean, this Jacqueline chick is not fucking good, man. Like, McKenna's not, I mean, relatively speaking here, she's not like fucking horrible. She's got beat news in front of her, some okay chicks. I mean, -130, her by decision is +130. I don't know if I'm feeling stupid, I might throw a couple bucks on McKenna. I just feel like she's kind of shorter. She's the better fighter. So definitely the pick and top master. Oh shit. Are we setting up sponsorship? Oh,
probably. I hate having an opinion on this fight. I think Wes is right. I think this price is too short. This is the person that we were like, why is she -300 against old Sam Page? And I think we might have made a couple bucks on Sampage in that fight. And then she comes out and beats the monster rat. And is now even money against someone who isn't terrible. Like, who can, like, she's pretty strong for the weight class. She can grapple a little bit. Yeah, we'll take that, I guess.
If she doesn't get caught in some stupid armbar or something, then she's gonna probably win a fairly easy decision here, I think. She just can't get caught in something dumb. Possibility.
Price was?
I think it was like some plus 135 or something out there, plus 130.
Yeah, it's plus 130.
Yeah. Not enough to worry about considering, but I think I might have two disgusting bets on the two first fights of this card. I need to go low volume on the cards I know, high volume on the cards that I don't. That's the new strategy here. Featherweight division. Josh Coulibaly, Danny Silva, Sean.
I know very little about Danny Silva, but I know who Coulibaly is, and he's pretty good, and he's got some good power. Digging deep on this card to find bets, so I know Coulibaly. He's decent, got big power. I guess that's going to be a parlay piece for me.
There you go, Wes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got to agree. I think Coulibaly's pretty good, and this Silva kid is just knocking out a bunch of bums leading up to the Contender Series, and then, of course, fights an okay dude on the Contender Series and gets a close decision, and he gets a contract. Pretty much that was last season, the Contender Series. He's one of those dudes. He's decision guy, contract off a Contender Series that – a lot of those dudes are getting smoked in their UFC fights coming off that last season. And, man, they're throwing this guy in deep, I think. Like, Coulibaly's fucking decent, man. Like, this dude's fought, like, some legitimate guys. I mean, he's been in there with fucking Jalen Turner. I mean,
his two losses are to Jalen Turner.
And Lerone Murphy.
One guy who's ranked at lightweight and one guy who's ranked at featherweight.
Yeah, I mean, I like Coulibaly in this spot too. I think it's a pretty good parlay piece. And Coulibaly by KO, is it KO? Yeah, it's like plus 375, plus 400, something like that. I think that might be worth a small shot too. Like, I know Jalen Turner was pretty big compared to Danny Silva, but like took him down and smashed him out. Like, Coulibaly might get this guy out of there, but I like him as a parlay piece for sure.
Agree. I don't know if I'll find anything to parlay him with, but everything that you guys said was, I think, correct on that fight. So we'll move it on to the lightweight division. Thiago Moises.
I've
seen him fight. And he is taking on something called Mitch Ramirez, who I definitely have not seen fight. Sean.
Yeah. Moises is pretty good. It's tough. Like I said, I'm going to parlay Coulibaly. I also don't know much about Moises, the guy who he's fighting. But it's a little tougher for me to lay the big numbers on guys that I know against guys who I don't on short notice. So I'll pick Moises. I don't think I'm going to parlay him. You should probably, if you're going to play him. Because the number keeps going up, it'll probably minus 650 probably by fight time. People are just chasing that steam.
Wes, as far as name across the body tattoos, how do you think like the no regrets spot here compares to like McGregor's belly or the guys that get it on the back? What are we talking about here with the with Ramirez's little necklace tattoo?
Coming from somebody who's like growing up and even now, like all of my friends have tattoos. All of my friends got tattoos early. I never did. The name across the chest like that is fucking stupid looking. You don't put your name across your chest like that. Like, it's either back, even back like in the day, like way back in the day, they used to put it like, I know a couple of dudes that had it like across their stomach and stuff. Don't put it across your chest. Like
Robbie Lawler, baby.
I'm just
yeah.
Just don't go there. You go like a little better. go a little racist. Go brown pride or go white pride, like something. Just go a little racist if you're gonna put something across don't the go chest. White
pride. Never go.
No, white no, pride. No. The only acceptable across the chest tattoo is, you know, you only live once, roll the dice. That's the only acceptable chest tattoo. Yeah, this Ramirez cat was he was beating up dudes on the regional scene. He got his contender series shot and he got smoked, but he got smoked by a guy that might be pretty fucking good. That Carlos Prates guy is already, I think he fought Chevin Giles, I think, last time out and fucked yeah. Giles up. Like, he might be decent. Went back down to LFA, knocked another bum out. So who knows with this guy? He looks like he's got some power and shit and can get guys out of there. Moises has had problems with guys that are like a little bit bigger than him and got a little bit of pop and shit. Joe Alvarez, of course, Mac and Cheese, beats up a couple bums in Chiagos and who was that, the Weasel Rat? Is that what we call him? Boy? Yeah, the Milk Weasel. It's called the Weasel Rat. Yeah, and did the business. He did what he was supposed to do in those fights. But I'm with Sean here. Like, I want to put Koi Bao with Moises here, but that price against a guy that like can knock dudes out, it's a little worrisome. So that might be my parlay. I'm still thinking about it. I like Moises in this fight. Like, he's still really good. I just, Ramirez guy knocking a bunch of dudes out, it's gotta scare you a little bit.
Yeah. I just don't have much interest in betting a guy at -500 or whatever. He's not quite -500 yet.
350.
Like minus, yeah.
Getting there.
-350, -400 against a dude that doesn't appear to be a complete fraud on paper that I don't really know all that much about. So I'll pick Moises because he's
talking me into
pretty damn good. But yeah, we're gonna pass on that. Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, we'll make sure we mix in a little hog talk in there. Speaking of hogs, Wesley, this might be a time to detour to old Riyadh for a whole batch of sadness. How it happened, a little bit unexpected, but
yeah.
The hog shriveled up in the desert heat.
Yeah,
morning shrivelage.
Isn't that what we all kind of thought was going to happen the first time around, and would have probably happened if Tyson Fury wasn't a total shitbag?
Over in the first one.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like. Man, if Fury would have took that, like we saw Tyson Fury coming into that fight.
Oh, yeah.
He gave no fucks.
No fucks.
And
Styles make fights too. Like, yeah, like I don't think Fury would have one punched Ngannou, but I think he would have volumed him up and finished him that way and got some good licks in at that point. But AJ's got power, man.
He does, but like he doesn't have like historically he doesn't have big fucking one punch power and shit, and he dropped
low level heavyweights. He does.
He dropped Ngannou with a jab, with a straight jab down the pipe. He dropped Ngannou. Like, if you land perfect fucking punches that he doesn't see coming, which he didn't even see that straight jab coming, it was that quick, that sharp. I mean, but
he fucking went southpaw and they got just absolutely piped.
The knockout was nasty, man. Like that made me sad. I want a good chunk of money, but that made me sad. And like, I'm happy for Ngannou, man. I'm glad he got a bunch of money. But
if you're gonna get the CTE, you might as well get it for
you got a bag.
Bag.
Can we end the experiment now, though? Like, he made a ton of money. Go over to PFL.
You should just retire, man. Fuck fighting for.
I'd go get it.
Retire,
I'd go.
Man.
So, go get a PFL fight and go out on a good note, because they're going to pay him a few million to go beat up. Who is it? Henan Ferreira, whoever's got the belt. Like, go stomp that guy. It's an easy fucking knockout. Walk off in a sunset, man. I feel like Ngannou's like he's competitive though, man. That guy's going to fight. Can we end the boxing experiment though? If not, like, he shouldn't be fighting two of the top three heavyweights on the planet. Like, can we not do that again?
He needs to get Jake Paul as
Jake Paul's fighting Mike Tyson. Can Hogg fight Mike Tyson? Sign that shit up. You know, there's your next heavyweight. I mean, I'm sure Roy Jones Jr. is fucking over 205 at this point. Sign that fucking man up. Yeah, that was great card though. Sad. I thought they did a pretty good card, man. Like, Parker getting
9 hours. It did not need to be 9 hours.
You don't have to watch all that shit though. Like, go do other things. You know what I'm saying?
Regardless, it took hours for shit to happen.
That's a theme in all boxing, and UFC cards are getting a bit.
It's not pacing. Boxing. Like, boxing, the best meme is literally Canelo, like, asleep on the couch because he's got to wait like an hour from the end of the last fight to his. Like, boxing's really fucking bad with it. The UFC never does like an hour from the co-main to the main. That shit is nuts.
No. Anyway, keeping it moving on this card, flyweight division, O'Day, Black Sabbath, Osborne taking on Jafar Filho. Sean.
I don't have too much here. O'Day, he has a bit of power. So maybe Jafar is going to, he'll have to watch to not get caught, because, you know, he has been dropped. But Jafar probably grapples and takes him down and maybe gets a sub.
Wesley?
Yeah, I don't think the old Jafar's like great or anything, but man. O'Day, shit, dude. Like, this guy's a fucking bum. Easy takedown. I think this is going to the mat, man. I like a little bit of the old Jafar. I like that sub. I think he can get a sub off here. Not sure what that price is sitting at now. It's not great. The last time I looked at it earlier tonight, plus 140. You're cutting off a little bit. I might take a little of that. That price is kind of terrible. I think O'Day is terrible, and he's going to get taken down and probably subbed. It might go to decision. There could just be control. Like, he's shit, but he can survive. Like, he's competent on the mat and stuff. He's not going to get smoked here. But I like Jafar. Don't really want to lay that price straight.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion on this fight. I agree that Jafar probably gets a little bit of grappling going and wins. Might help that Yam season is back. But I'm not at a point where I really trust him to go out there and fight with the smartest game plan and get the job done. So I'm just going to pass on this one and move it on up to the women's bantamweight division, where we are blessed with Josiane Nunes taking on Chelsea Chandler. You got a couple, you know, former top 10 featherweights dropping down to 135. This is big shit here, Sean.
Pass.
Wes?
The over 2.5 looks like an okay price, but let's just move on.
Yeah, please. I don't know what the line is, but whoever the dog is in Toutmaster, lightweight division, Mike Davis. Big price, Mike. Minus 400s out there against Natan Levy in this.
In this climbing? Yeah, in this climbing? Come on now.
You know that all of the funding that should be going to Mike Davis is going to Natan Levy for this one. That's just, that's the way of the world, baby. Sean?
I am a bit surprised that this number is what it is. I think Natan Levy is, he's probably can out-grapple Mike Davis, and on the feet, like, yeah, Davis probably has the edge, but I don't know, like, I think I trust the gas tank of Natan Levy a bit more. I'm probably going to have half unit, maybe if I'm feeling real spicy, a full unit on the Gentile, Natan Levy.
Wesley.
We might see Levy pulling a genocide on Mike Davis here. Like, it's, this might not be. This might be good. They just said a little too soon here. I'm with Sean here. I just think this price is kind of crazy. Levy being off for over a year, kind of, that's a little worrisome. But this is really about a price play more than anything here. I just think it's a closer fight. And man, Mike Davis, like, fucking, what is he up to now? -4. There's some 350s out there and stuff to almost anybody. It's just kind of crazy. So I'll take the small shot on the old Gentile here.
Yeah, Mike Davis has fought twice since the pandemic started.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn. He's
-400 in a fight. He has not fought in a year and a half.
Wow. He's, yeah,
like, still relatively young. But I'll take the guy who's basically the same age and has kind of been active, although Levy's had his own layoff recently. I don't see why this is -400. Gonna have a round robin that we set up for this card. I don't know if it's all going to be money lines, because there's not a lot of huge ones that I like, but Natan Levy will certainly be a leg in that round robin. Just way too wide, and I don't see why the fight is lined the way it is. Main card. Middleweight division. I've heard of these guys. The Meerkat. Brian Barberena. Just two sloppy white dudes out here doing sloppy white dude stuff in the sloppiest, middlest division of all. Sean.
Perfect. Perfect. I think Meerschaert probably wins the fight. I think he can out-grapple Barberena, who should not be fighting at this weight class.
I could out-grapple Barberena.
I know. Meerschaert's chin is always going to be sketchy. Barberena doesn't have too big of power, especially at this weight class. Who the fuck knows? It's just tough laying that kind of juice on Meerschaert and in any fight, but I'll pick him to win.
Wesley.
Damn, yeah. I was just reading today. I forgot our boy, shout out Mark Coleman. That's wild that dude's not sure he makes it out of that, but way to go out, rescuing your parents out of a burning house. Like, how much of a badass has fucking Mark Coleman been his entire life? Like, holy fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
He tried to, like, corner them first. It's like, get up.
Yeah.
Get up, Kev. Get out.
God damn it, Kev. Get up.
Oh, fuck. You're going to make me do this myself.
I got Kevin through the Fedor fight. This fire's nothing. Get the fuck up.
What a legend. He's got a GoFundMe that his daughter set up. So if you get an opportunity and you are able, there are worse causes to support than that.
Yeah, watching Coleman a few years back have to sell off his pride trophies and shit was,
yeah,
sad.
That's when the people like, yeah, they make plenty of money. Like, God, those people just make me want to smack them upside the head sometimes. Yeah, I'm kind of feel the same way with Sean. Like, look, the Meerkat is going to be like the bigger, stronger dude in this fight, for he's usually not against Barbarina. He's going to be the bigger, stronger guy. This one. Okay, new one. He should get a hold of him and grapple here, but you know, does the Meerkat like to do that, you know, much anymore? Like, most of the time he's up striking with guys now. And I think if that plays out a little bit in this fight, it just gives Barbarina like, you know, a much bigger chance. And I think we talked about before Barbarina's last fight, like he was won a couple back. He was a fave. And it's like, you want Barbarina in these spots, close fights where he's a 2-1 dog. And a lot of times that guy's going to come through for your money. So I'm probably going to just take a small shot here. Like, Meerkat should win this, but I think there's scenarios to where Meerkat's probably going to make this a little closer fight than it should be.
So yeah, Meerkat, one takedown against Petrosky, none against Pfeiffer, one against Bruno Silva, which was after he already rocked him on the feet. One against Jotko, gave up 4. One against Dustin Stolzfus, gave up 4. Like, he's not a good wrestler. He can still take down Brian Blubberena, but he has to actually want to. And I'm not convinced that he does. And if this stays on the feet, I think it's going to be probably the volume from the blubber. He's going to be jiggling it out there. And yeah, I think it's just going to turn into a close striking match. And Barbarina by decision is like plus 450 out there in some spots. We got some 200s on the money line. Probably going to take a little shot on Brian Barbarina. I'm sorry, Meerkat. You made me a lot of money over the years, but hey, I just learned on the last card, you got to know when to move on from folks. So, I mean, normally you'd think that means move on from Brian Barbarina, who physically does not look like he should be in there. But
the man physically said, fuck it so much, I'm fighting at 185. That's fucking fat sack of shit. Straight up.
And honestly, I know he got taken down 1.5 billion times, but he looked better in that fight somehow than I expected him to. Women's bantamweight division. Apparently, this is a rematch. Cool. Penny Kianzad, you know, Macy Chasson. Not Kiasson. Chasson. Sean.
I don't know if Chasson finishes her again, but I think she gets takedowns and beats her up a bit. This card is bad enough that I am really contemplating laying minus 220 on Macy Chasson. Sad.
Wes?
I think she absolutely destroys Panier. Like, I just, like, I'm probably going to have her in something small. It's just, man, there's twice now to where she is winning fights and weird shit happens and she loses. Like, literally beating the fuck out of Aldana and gets caught with an up liver kick and gets fucking stopped. That literally never seen that happen ever in a fight. So, but man.
And like, hasn't fought since then, mind you.
Yeah. Panty's like not good though. She is like really bad. I think Chasson gets takedowns whenever she wants her. She'll probably get a finish, but I'll probably just take a little money line and something small just because of that fucking crazy shit that's happening in her fights. But she's way better than Panty. Has been since Tough, is now. She's going to win this fight.
Yeah, don't care. real don't care. Dog and Tout Master. Doing it. I can't trust you if you get knocked out by an up liver kick.
Yeah.
And also guillotined by Rocky Pennington. Who would is she like a champion or something now? Is that what we're doing?
No, she's not. Okay.
She won a fight, right? She's at least not winning a fight.
It's an elite bantamweight you're talking about.
Sorry. One of these fine ladies is about to be a future champ after this performance. I can tell you that much. Featherweight division, Christian Rodriguez moving up, kind of. He always missed weight at 135 anyway. Taking on Isaac the Bulgarian. Sean?
I think this is a good test for the Bulgarian. Rodriguez has a pretty decent overall game. Do all right grappling? Is that okay striking? I think I'm going to have to side with the guy that, you know, has been in the UFC and fought, you know, what is technically UFC caliber fighters and done fairly good against most of them. So I'm going to be taking the underdog, and we'll see if this Bulgarian is as good as what they hype him to be.
Wesley.
Yeah, I think Bulgarian's probably pretty good, but you know, the question is what happens if he can't smoke a guy in fucking 60 seconds? You know, we know what we get out of Christian Rodriguez when he's in deep in fights. You know, he went 15 with Jonathan Pierce, who's just an absolute fucking monster grinder. And Christian Rodriguez never thought about getting out of that fight. Has beaten some okay competition. You know, Saman's, it's a decent win, I guess. Not even going to mention Jay Leno's child. That was just hilarious and just a beautiful cash. Love that. But yeah, I mean, Bulgarian might be the absolute real, but man, we just, like I said, we've never seen him go anywhere deep. So, and Christian Rodriguez at a dog price here. I just think it's something you take a little shot of. You find out who the better young and up and coming prospect is. So I'll take the dog price.
Yeah, it's I don't understand. Feels like a wrong fighter favored here. Obviously, the Bulgarian has the undefeated record, but not really against anybody good. Even the one setup fight that he had on Looking for a Fight was against a guy with one of those super padded records. Like, he faced all 0-0 guys or 0-1 guys, that sort of stuff to get that record. And then beat a kid, really. That Francis Marshall guy is what, like 20? He's
Few fights. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he hasn't faced anybody. Christian Rodriguez has faced dudes. He's had success even against the worst matchups that he's faced. Up a weight class. It's not like Bulgarian's a big featherweight, so I don't think that's going to be much of a concern here either. Yeah, it's going to be Christian Rodriguez for me. And it's going to be Christian Rodriguez for the consensus bet of the week. Sean, what are we talking about here for a line? 163?
That is best price that is widely available.
Who did we have last week?
Petey Yan, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's easy work.
Mm-hmm. We've been doing all right with them. We had
a couple weeks in a row that was tough, but yeah.
Well, we had Perez the week before, which I would take that again at plus 290 or whatever we got. And the week before that, we hit a 2-something. So,
good for us. Yeah, I mean, I'd absolutely take Perez at 3-1 again. Like, dude had a third round to cash a 3-1 ticket.
Tough.
Yep. Tough. Light heavyweight division. Kenny Nunchucks. Off. Still doing it.
Jesus.
He is 40 now. He's a man.
Yeesh.
Sean, are you excited about this one?
Not at all. OSP is an absolute ghost of an okay light heavyweight fighter. He's got dusted a couple times in the last little bit. in you know, three of the last four, the fight's gone over 1.5. It's one of those was very, very slim margins. Another one was pretty close. I know Kenny Nunchucks is not great. And in the past, OSP's been able to like really slow down fights. I think he's got a good chance of doing that here. Plus 125 for the over 1.5. I'm in. This card is fucking terrible.
Wes?
Yeah. I think OSP is going to get smoked here. I think he's absolutely fucking done. But I agree with Sean. Like, you know, Kenny's usually a sort of slow starter unless somebody's like bum rushing him and forces him into like some early action. OSP's fucking gonna snail pace this fight like he always does. Yeah, I mean, there's a fight starts round two at like minus 125 sitting at Bovada too. Like, I don't mind that at all. Like, Kenny's got some early second round finishes on his record. So if you want to kind of shield yourself a little bit more, that's not a bad spot. If you have a Bovada account still, I do. I think I'm one of the 500 people that might have a Bovada account at this point. But yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind the over plus money. But I think at some point in the second round, maybe third round, OSP is going to get fucking slicked. That guy's done. Like, he's looked really, really bad. He's got like one win in the past like 4 years, and it was a split decision to Shogun like a couple years ago. Like, it's not good. That guy's really bad. Kenny Nunchucks just isn't like some, you know, not great. So that over 1.5, fight starts round two, don't hate it.
Yeah, it's not like over the past couple years Kenny Nunchucks hasn't lost to Dustin Jacoby. Yeah. Sure, that's fine. But old Nicky Negreanu and Unhung.
Yeah.
That's he's not losing to the greatest of competition. So don't have a ton of confidence in him at these current prices. I do like the angle of the over. There's also a sneaky Kenny Nunchucks at plus 420 in round two out there.
Ooh.
Which is about $2 off the rest of the market. So I'm going to snatch that up before our tens of listeners go in and hit that line. But yeah, this is like OSP fights when he was good weren't good. And now he's a lot worse and does a lot less. But just saying a lot. I know that was a lot of a lots, but I had to go there. Co-main event. Angelusa.
This is fucking terrible.
Wes's boy, Brian Battle. The old Pooh Bear. Sean, what a co-main event. Just
unbelievable. Unbelievable. As in, I cannot believe it. You cannot believe that Angelusa is in a co-main event fight.
Brian Battle is in a co-main event fight.
That's fair as well.
At least, you know what? At least Brian Battle's like a tough winner. And
you got some big knockouts. Yeah, he's got some knockouts.
They used to do this with tough winners where they would give them a bunch of shitty matchups and like eventually put them up on main cards, but woof.
It is woof. I might take Brian Battle. I know Wes hates him. He's going to trash him here. That's fine. Angelusha is terrible. Hasn't shown really any finishing ability in the UFC. Brian Battle, they both fought AJ Fletcher. Battle kind of smoked Fletcher, took him out, choked him out. I think Battle's is the better guy, and on a card that's horrible, I am stooping to that low and probably parlaying Brian Battle. Trying to lose all them profits I fucking racked up at the start of the year.
Woo! Man.
Wes, is Ange a loser? Or
I mean, oh my bad.
Is Brian Battle who?
I mean, both could be true. Like both could be true here. Look, man, both of these guys suck. Like, I'm still like, you ain't never gonna convince me. Fucking Brian Battle. Like, Angelusa's at least fought some like legitimate guys and shit.
Who are we talking about legit? Okay, he got smoked by Della Maddalena.
He didn't get smoked. Like, he went 15 with Maddalena. He didn't get smoked.
He got almost doubled up.
He got beat. Yeah, he got beat. But he like wasn't
coming
never
off
hurt.
A Reese McKee decision win.
He was also basically like even money in that Della Maddalena fight. Like, people were.
Wow, that's a poor fucking line.
I think a lot of people hit it on the Della side, but. Like, he had a pretty decent sentiment coming into the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing what he needed to do. It's still regional scene fucking record. I get it. But look, you're just never going to convince me Brian Battle's good. He's knocked out and finished a few guys that are literal perfect fucking matchups for him. I don't think it's like as average as Ange is here. Like, I think he's got a little pop. He can grapple here. He can take Brian Battle, still easily taken down. He's been taken down in fights. It's just, it's a number, and it's, I'm going to fade this guy every fucking time. If I can get a plus number, I'm fading this guy. I think he's shit. So, yeah, I'm going to take a small little shot on, and look, if this was any other guy, I'd probably just pass on this. Don't like, I'm pot committed at this point. Like, I have to. I got some back with my boy. Like, my boy fucking fucked this dude up. Like, Ange could employ the same game plan. He can bum rush Battle. He can go for takedown and shit, and absolutely win a decision in this fight. Plus 155. I'm pot committed. Let's go, fucking loser.
Looking through old Ange Luce's record. And I stumbled across his win over Rustam Kasanov, a retirement in round one at the United Caucasian Fighting Championship. And I was like, hold up. Isn't that what we already watched? I thought I was watching the wrong thing. Isn't that the thing that we're already, no? With Dana and the other Caucasians all making the money?
How was he invited to that? How did Hans get the invitation to that?
Well, they saw that he was Swiss, and they're like, "Oh, we're good, we're good." And then he showed up, and they were like, "What?
Like, who invited this motherfucker?"
What a sport! I'm with Wes on this one. Which means Sean's probably in for another good day. Mm-hmm. But I can't. I don't think that he's going to find some like ridiculous finish out of nowhere against Ange, who's never been finished. If it turns into a prolonged striking match, I think it's probably not even relatively even. I think Ange probably has a little bit of an advantage. And Battle can't grapple. Like, I still don't understand how he gets into these positions where he wins fights. So maybe I'm missing something. But I haven't seen the impressive part aside from the knockout power.
The finishes, yeah.
Yeah. And just super tough to finish. So if you don't get him out of there, what happens next? So... probably take a little shot on Ange. Probably also take a little shot on Ange. Scorecards is no bet. That one's up at plus 195. So if Ange gets a finish, you're good. If it goes to the cards, either way, it's canceled. I think if he loses, it's going to the cards. So I see it as a bit of a free roll, although those things are never free. So
damn score. Oh, yeah.
Main event. Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura, just a heavyweight clash for the ages. Sean. This is pretty close to T-shirt in the pool territory here. And they're trying to tell me it's main event.
I mean,
if you wanted to like lean in and make some T-shirt in the pool a main event, I'm all about it. But no half-stepping. Don't just dip the toes in. You got to cannonball into that bitch.
This is why Jail Man could always be like a top five heavyweight in the UFC. Like, he's always got the possibility to be a top five heavyweight.
Right? Sean.
This is horrible. I'm betting over 1.5. It's like -123 at Penny. If Tuivasa just slicks him, it is what it is. I don't think he does. This probably gets extended. I might throw some darts at old Tibera in round 4 or 5 at like +2,500, +3,000. This is going to be gross. The UFC shall pay for putting shit fights in shit heavyweight fights in main event slots in the Apex. Just like with Rosenstruck, this is going to be garbage. So that's the way I'm going. I think Tibera gets him late.
Just like Rosenstruck.
Huh? Fucking ghost in here. Get shit out of me.
For those who aren't watching on the video, Sean just had a random balloon fly into the side of his head. But I think it was Minnie Mouse.
Was it Minnie Mouse?
Yeah.
This is what we do to our child when she's being a nightmare. This is what we attach to her, and then she's less of a nightmare.
Whatever works, bro.
That's
whatever
right.
Whatever works.
If you tie a whole bunch of them to her, then she'll just float away and you're good.
Yeah. You'll never have to deal with it. Stork that motherfucker to somebody else.
Wes, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same path again as Sean here. It might not be good. We'll find out. Yeah, I think if Tuivasa doesn't get one of those bombs early, we're gonna have slop. It's gonna turn into some slop shit. And like Tuivasa lately is, you know, most of his fights actually creep into the second round and stuff too. We know Tiber is a guy that's gonna want to try to get a hold and slow this down as well. So, man, that's -120 at DraftKings at this point. That's, I think it's something you got to take a little bit of. Man, at this point, I'm kind of leaning Tiber as well. I think we've seen Tuivasa at this point. If he doesn't land that big punch and just knock guys out, he's not good extended in the fights. So I think those round props aren't bad either. I think maybe even like 3-4. I think that's +1200, +2500. I think those are decent looks as well for Tibera. Maybe a little bit on straight on the money line. But don't want to go too big there because it is still Tuivasa, and we know that guy does have like some fucking power in his hand. So I like the over quite a bit, though. I will take some of that, sprinkle on those round props.
Yeah, it really feels like Tuivasa has to win this one early. And so honestly, I was originally, when we started talking, thinking about that side, because Tibera loves to get cracked and get knocked out by these kind of dudes. I think you guys might be winning over my inner nature, though. Starting to drift into Fatty's territory.
You brought up the pool that we're talking about.
And then Sean talks about just like Rosenstruck.
Yeah, it all comes like, back. Hey,
what's the goes to decision price here? Because I could see Tibera, after Tuivasa gets tired, just sort of hopping around, poking at him from the outside. Because this dude doesn't really grapple anymore either. And does he have the power to get Tuivasa out of there? Even a tired Tuivasa? What are we thinking about a little Tibera? I know you guys are on those round props. What are we thinking about a little Tibera decision? Around 11?
There's an 11.
11 out there?
That's my crookie. So
yeah.
That's
not I'm a sure, real one. Yeah. I'm sure some 365 will come out and it'll be, you know.
I think you can get
9, 10. Yeah,
we might
have. You never know what FanDuel does either. They might have something just off the wall that happens. They're known for that.
They opened it at 9 and it's down to 7 okay. now.
I didn't see that they put it up. Hell, yeah, Fight Goes Distance is plus 550 at Bovada.
Yeah. There's, I think I'll be looking in that direction. Because, shit, I'm not going to have to sit through it. It's everybody else that's going to have to suffer. I just see if it wins at the end of the day. So, we're switching it up. You guys talk me into it. Tybura, over. Getting crazy in the later, hopefully not even the later rounds, getting crazy all the way to the end. And we got crazy, proverbially, for the past 90 minutes, and that is way too long. So we're going to get out of here because we broke down this card. Next podcast, I promise, will be much shorter. We don't have to worry about spending 40 minutes recapping this card. Be more like 4. We're happy that you joined us tonight. And we will see you again next week. I appreciate you.